Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 25th of July. July 25th, it has a ring to it. It's something
July
about...
25th?
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. It's a birthday that I know about.
Yes, I know it too. It's my twin brother Lewis's.
Hey!
It's Alan's birthday!
Yay.
Hey. Happy birthday, Alan.
Hey, enthusiasm.
You're enthusiastic, aren't
yes.
you? You're excited.
Sure, another year older and deeper in debt.
That's right.
Go closer to that microphone.
By the way, you know, it's also our Vox Pop producer, Jessica Blaustein, Marshall's birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's two birthdays in the family here within 24 hours.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
It's lovely. So, happy birthday, Alan.
Thank you.
To have you here and welcome.
How old are you now?
73. 73 years young.
So let's see. It's 6 hours until the early bird special this afternoon. Up at Shoney's.
I've been eligible for that since I was 50.
No. You got to go. You have to go down to Florida, the east coast of Florida.
Yeah.
Between
awful
West Palm
fish.
And.
Down Hollywood
you
way.
You know, right.
Right.
To get
tilapia.
An early birth
you go
special.
You go to Shoney's.
Shoney's.
That's right.
Well, not only that, but any tilapia. Other Jewish deli or anything else is there. So.
Yeah.
When my mother was there, we'd go to the early bird special all the time, and it wasn't just the Shoney's. Actually, it was never.
We went to the early bird special with my mom at the Howard Johnson's.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
We'd
fried
go to Ben's,
clam plate.
We'd go to different
places. Shrafts, some places
Shrafts.
Like that.
Shrafts.
Yeah, remember that?
You're really going
yeah, you're
back.
Showing your age.
Yeah, you are.
Well,
doilies. That's what I You say Shrafts,
yeah,
I say doilies.
Exactly. The little mints, the little powdery mints.
And Patricia Murphy.
Butter mints.
43 more minutes of this and we'll be done.
Or as my mom would say, they're all doing it now.
It would only be 5 hours for the early bird special. Good morning and welcome, and it's great to have you aboard. If you wish to join in on our topics, including Alan's birthday, we would love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Avoid the birthday.
Yeah. All right, avoid the birthday.
He'll read it anyway.
Right. But we won't be singing. At least I won't be singing.
Not yet.
Well, you don't want me singing.
All right.
Really?
I thought your dog impression was pretty good yesterday.
I do a very good dog.
It was great.
It's a very good dog.
I do. And what else would you like me to do today?
It's a very thoughtful dog.
Yeah.
It's a very thoughtful dog.
Kind of like Davy and Goliath.
Yes.
Gee, Davy.
Well, where'd you think I watched that when I was a child?
Did you?
I'm sure I did. I'd get up early in the morning. Nobody was awake. I'd turn on the TV.
And that was all that was on.
That was right.
That was
good. Guess what? When I was a child, there was no TV.
Yeah, I know. And aren't we? And I hear the violin singing.
Yeah, exactly. Or in my day. Before
you
there was
turn
an early
on the radio.
Bird special.
And you still
we
do
listen
turn
to the radio.
On the radio.
We listen to Bobby Benson and his BRB Riders every afternoon.
Okay,
and
his
what Riders?
BRB Riders.
BRB.
BBARB.
Oh,
BBARB Riders.
As in a barbecue?
And when they took it off, the radio because people were starting to watch that other thing. My mother called up and let them have it.
And what did they say to her?
Go
Thank
away.
You, Mrs.
Buzz
Charnock.
Off, lady.
The same thing I say now.
BBARB.
Thank you for your letters.
All right. Good morning and welcome to our conversation. And trust me, that is what this is.
Yeah. That's all we got.
All right. Let's talk
Bring
about
it,
let's talk about Governor Cuomo. This goes on. I think it's interesting to me because let's just do the timeline here. So Wednesday, the New York Times puts a major article in the paper about an exclusive of the ending of the Moreland Commission and saying that the governor was very much a part of this commission and who it would investigate and who it would not investigate. And the day it runs, Governor Cuomo's people put out a 13-page response, which doesn't really do much other than reiterate a lot of what he was said in the New York Times article.
If I may just interject, what he
yes.
used, the premise that he used in the 13 pages is same thing he said. It's my commission. I made it, and I can kill it. That would be fine and right, except for one small problem. when he made it, and he got up and was asked by the reporters, what about you? He said, they can investigate me, they can investigate the lieutenant governor, and he went down the list of all the statewide officers. He said they could do it all. And so now it looks hypocritical, that's all.
Well, this is the time when we need a good editorial cartoonist, to show it with Andy, with words coming out of both sides of his mouth or his head spinning around or anything, because that's what this is. It's duplicity.
So I'm gonna give you a couple of visual images that you can add to the editorial cartoon in your head.
Thank you, because that's the only place I can find it these days.
That's the New York Times today. So Jim Dwyer writes, among Andrew Cuomo's strengths, conspicuous piety would have to rank near the bottom.
For most, what does that mean? I'm sorry, I'm so stupid.
Except that he acts that way.
What does conspicuous piety mean?
Being above it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means,
I think I'm above it all.
Right. Well, they're saying that as a strength.
Yes.
As a what?
Yes, a strength. Among Andrew Cuomo's strengths, conspicuous piety would have to rank near the bottom. For most politicians,
that means it's not a strength. It means
holier it's than thou is not a good look, and it is a particularly bad fit for Governor Cuomo. And here's where we go. His considerable successes have been based on practical hand-to-hand, knee-to-groin political combat, not public sanctimony.
That's true. And the problem with when you're strong like that, and when you and when people are scared of you, and they are scared of Andrew Cuomo, is that when it goes bad, you can watch all those people who've been cowering in the corner jump.
So that's the Spitzer principle.
Well, it could be
to some extent.
Well, that's the role could of the be. Steamroller principle, but Elliot didn't have the political.
So what's
weight.
Worse? Okay, let's. Say, ask you this question now that you guys have gone and raised it. What's worse, having, sexual relations with people or who are not your wife or... Also that you're paying for. Okay, I'll take the addition, sir. Okay.
Why did we pay for it?
Because they were prostitutes. Some of them were prostitutes.
So client number 9, remember?
Yeah, so how did we pay for it?
No, not we.
No, not us.
Not
oh,
we.
Oh, that, he. Oh, no, that he paid for it.
No. Or duplicity in rooting out corruption, which of course is costing millions of dollars for the people of this state.
Right. See, the thing is, he said, this is my commission. It's not his commission. It's the people's commission. The people are paying for this.
Yeah.
To be clear, though.
Yeah, to be clear what?
Governor Spitzer
the happy ending? Committed it.
We'll have to check the Amex bill. I mean, client number 11, I think, got. So the thing is, you have made an apples and oranges comparison. Governor Spitzer committed a crime. At this point,
wait a second,
Governor Cuomo has not committed a crime.
Was he ever charged with a crime?
You have sex with a prostitute
was he
in New York.
With, was he no. charged with a crime?
No, he wasn't.
He was not.
He wasn't.
So watch it. Just look, the only one in this room who can possibly get a state job right now is going to be Ray Graff.
I'm just saying, it's not the same.
I would rather, from my perspective, if we put everybody's sex lives in the spotlight and judge people's ability to do their job based on what they do in private, we wouldn't be able to trust anyone and we wouldn't be able to elect anyone.
You are so right.
And so I would rather have, honestly, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And a little bit of philandering where I know that what he's saying and he stands behind his words and his commitment to somebody who says one thing, does another, breaks knees, and...
Well, breaks knees is metaphorical.
Yes, metaphorical. It's the knee in the groin allegory. You know, and thinks he's above the law, because that's...
Well, you know,
sort
nobody
what's
yet.
Going on here.
Well, Libby, I have to be honest with you. Nobody yet has suggested that Andrew Cuomo has broken the law.
So maybe the law he's above it all. If not the law per se, but that he's above it and he can say, on one hand, you can go after me, and then on the other, no, you can't.
No, on the other, when you do it, we're going to call in the police. We're going to have Larry, or as the New York Times calls him, Lauren Schwartz. do that work. The secretary to the governor, and all in case anybody thinks the secretary is somebody there with a stenographer's pad, it's the top person in the in the administration.
Right. Yeah. I just wonder how many calls are going to various people to help. And
oh no, there's no question, because the next day they're, well, I think some people are coming now. They asked the very good controller of the state of New York, Tom DiNapoli, what he thought of the whole thing, and he said no. And somebody in the newsroom said to me, well, you know, that he didn't say much. All he said was, we'll have to see what the preparara of the U.S. attorney does here, because believe me, they are going to look up and down on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get elected.
Oh, no question. There's no question.
But I wonder how effective he'll be able to be.
Oh, no, he'll be effective. You know, this is now the second or third day. It's forgotten already in most places.
But if there are indictments that come down
the pike, no, if there are indictments, then you get something else.
If Preet Bharara decides to really go after this and there are indictments that come down the pike after November, because that's when it'll happen, how will that impact?
Yeah, but right now it's going to be just what happened to, you know, Christie over there on the other side of the bridge.
Mm-hmm. There'll be everybody surrounding
him. You know, he's out there running for president of the United States again.
Yep.
The people have short memories.
Yes, they do.
The story seems to be hanging around, though, and it interests
2 days.
72 hours.
it interests me, though, that he hasn't said anything about it. Karen DeWitt reported during your newscast that I heard it twice, actually.
Did I play? You're very funny.
That's because I had the it was
app
all
open.
My fault.
Yeah, we love you anyway. Yeah, okay. So not to
my fault.
Happy birthday. You can make a mistake on your birthday.
Okay.
But, you know, I
you
think.
Know
well, I think that this
you know,
is.
You know, he's got a thing about you know.
I don't care.
Okay.
If I was the governor and this was going on, I wouldn't say anything about it either. At least right now, I'd make my announcements and my pronouncements, and I would announce the funding going here and there. And I would let. If I was the advisor to the governor, I'd say, "Hey, just stay back. Let this thing."
Exactly what they're doing. If I see one more story about his canoe race in the Adirondacks, I'm going to be.
It was a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's doing what any good PR practitioner would tell him to do.
Yeah.
You know, he's having somebody else deal with the crisis, and he's above it and doing his day-to-day and trying to distract attention. Yeah. And for some people...
You're not going to distract attention by talking about the canoe race.
No,
You
can flood the brain waves with other things.
Do you think at some point he goes on a show that is perhaps friendly to him and talk to the person about...
Maybe he'll go on with you.
Alan. No, he doesn't. No, he's not going on with me.
No.
That's clear. You know, they got to find somebody who asks, you know, the right questions. For example, there was this New York. No, I'm not going to ever use the name. But there was this New York Post reporter. Remember him? And in the beginning, that's all he did. And there seemed to be some kind of detente between Cuomo and the guy. And then there was a horrible, fallout between the two. And then he hasn't done that since then. And then there was a public radio person, since I'm not using names, and he would go on her show. And then, but even there was no an outlet here, not really a major outlet here. And then that stopped for some reason. So, you find there's a quid pro quo here. You find the right people and they ask you the right questions. And they throw, now what's the little ball is a baseball, but the big ball's a softball.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard to throw anything else in this game, though, isn't it? I mean, whatever you throw at him, he's just going to say
what he's been saying. You think we've been avoiding the hard issues here? We haven't.
No, I mean not us. Him.
Yeah. Oh, no. Look, he's doing what he should be doing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, as Libby, who is a consummate professional at this very issue, says he's doing the right thing. From his perspective, maybe not from the people's perspective.
Right. I just wonder who's going to get hung out to dry when all of this is said and done.
Hmm.
That's all.
Larry Schwartz?
Lawrence, to you.
You know, I mean, he's taking the brunt of this, and he's the only one commenting on this, and he might need to fall on his sword in order to protect.
Well, the problem with the insiders is, frankly, when you have that kind of job, is you know everything. You know what I mean? So it's very hard to fire the insiders, especially somebody at that top. And he has been the head of the Praetorian Guard. I mean, he's really been the tough guy of that administration. Lawrence, not Sheldon E. Schwartz.
Well, Haldeman and Ehrlichman eventually had to go. So
yeah.
Not that this has any... Not that one is... I'm not comparing...
No, your point is
issues,
well taken.
But in terms of who's out front, who's the strong men in each of those administrations?
Well, here's the thing. There comes a point at which they get called into the room and they get told, hey, listen, this is really out of hand. You got to go, and you can go now, or you can pay me later, if you know what I mean. So we can take care of you, or we cannot.
Right. I'm sure Howie Glazer's happy to be wherever he is.
Well, as long as you mention that name, because, you know, the other day when I had Andrew Cuomo's primary opponent, Zephyr Teachout, on, she kept talking about Glazer. So why don't you tell everybody who Glazer is?
Well, he was the number two in
Director of State Operations?
Yeah, right, yeah. In the Cuomo administration, and he's now working in real estate.
Uh-huh, he left.
He left. He left maybe 6 months ago,
yeah.
5 months ago,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always wonder when people on that level leave 6 to 8 months before a campaign, is he leaving so then he can go run the campaign?
Yeah, right, of course.
You know, yeah. Or is he left because he wants to pursue other pursuits?
Well, this is, of course, just speculation, but sure. he's a very bright guy and apparently wanted to make some money.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 25th of July. Alan Chartok, the birthday boy, joins us, political consultant Libby Post and newsman Ray Graff, a part of the panel. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, we have letters.
We don't have a lot, but we do have we do have something from Michael, who says, happy birthday. Morning seem... Okay, he was nice. He was very nice. I was hoping the gang would discuss Albany County's executive McCoy's off-the-cuff remark that the city housing authority should move folks out of the Ezra Prentice homes due to the proximity of oil trains, as always, thanks. And that got the county exec into a rare public squabble with the mayor,
mm-hmm.
You know, for this sort of off-the-cuff remark, because there are certain logistical issues like, where are they going to go? You know,
right.
What are you going to do? Okay, so now we've discussed that, all right? So that's it. Nothing.
Really?
Oh, no. Julius, regular correspondent Julius, who we love, with ISIS apparently growing stronger by the day in their latest conquest of a large Syrian army base, what next? It seems foolish under the circumstances for the U.S. to provide more aid to, quote, Syrian rebels. Will Iran save Assad's bacon, says Julius.
You see ISIS blew up Jonah's tomb? Did you
see
that?
I saw that. Jonah, who got swallowed by the whale.
Yeah.
And yes, and it also shows the commonality of the Jewish religion and some of the Muslim
and Islam, right? Yeah. And it was revered in both Islam and the Judeo-Christian mm-hmm. religions, and it's gone now.
Right,
there is that, and that seems to be it for now, Joseph.
All right. Let's go on to another topic. President Obama on Thursday called for Congress to strip away tax advantages that have encouraged a rush of mergers and acquisitions that give companies an overseas base while they maintain their presence in the United States. In an appearance at a technical college that was intended to focus on job training, the president used unusually harsh language to describe American companies that acquire overseas companies to relocate for tax reasons known as inversions. He said they were renouncing their American citizenship by cherry-picking, his words, the nation's tax laws at the expense of ordinary taxpayers.
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, it is just disgusting. You know, everybody, the whole point is to get everybody to pay their taxes. If everybody pays their taxes, you can run the government. But when the biggest corporations pay either nothing, as in one local corporation, or very little, it just sets an example, a very negative example for why people should go into tax avoidance. You know, there's a lot that isn't fair in this country. As I read yesterday about the Rapfogel sentencing, you'll remember Rapfogel is the guy who ran the Metropolitan Council on Poverty in Lower East Side, and a close friend of Sheldon, not E. Silver, and his wife, and Ralph Vogel's wife, is chief of staff for Silver. And he gets 3.5 years. A kid walks into a grocery store, you know, with a gun, and can be in for a long, long time, or a heroin bust or a marijuana bust. So, look, the only thing we can all do is look at all of these things and say, this just ain't right. It's that simple.
It's, I have to say, I agree with Alan. What's going on here is greed over good. And it seems to be what's happening time and time again. And it brings me back to the comments the other day when people were railing against paying for the Health Care Act, you know, and that my taxes are going so somebody can pay a lower premium. No, really, your taxes aren't going so someone can pay a lower premium. Your taxes are going so there are some corporations who don't have to pay any taxes at all, so that there can be corporate welfare in this country. And this is another example of when corporate welfare doesn't work for a company, they say, okay, bye. We're going to go and pay lower taxes someplace else.
So the question here is one of backdating. Both Republicans and Democrats say we've got to fix this loophole. But the president and some Democrats want to backdate it to May. And in which case, so last week we have this pharmaceutical giant out of Chicago that agreed to buy a rival in Europe, allowing it to reincorporate in Britain. So it basically saves
15% or something like that.
Saves almost $10 billion in taxes.
Right. Usually when they did that, they would say, oh, we've bought out this company, and now it's going to be even better for the United States.
But here's the question.
We don't do that anymore.
Is it fair for Congress to say, we have backdated this prior to your purchasing this company?
Let's just say that your premise is an interesting one. However, I think the more interesting concept is that Obama says this is not right. We shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. He brings it to the very Republicans you're referencing.
I was referencing Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, and who say to you, who you're saying, don't think that the backdating is right. But do you think those very Republicans, John Boehner and the others, are going to put on the floor a reformation of the tax system in which corporations are refused to do that? Forget about the backdating. The answer, I suspect, Ray, is no.
From what I have read, and I'm certainly no expert on this, both Democrats and Republicans agree that that loophole should be fixed to some extent. So you may
Except
see some
that
action.
They, both sides of the aisle, have endorsed backdating when they have tried to fix this in the past with other bills. You know, the American Jobs Creation Act of 2004 contained an anti-inversion provision that was effective from March of the previous year. The Taxpayer Relief Act of 97 was backdated to May of 1995. So that both sides of the aisle have done this in the past. So I think that this is one of those situations where the Republicans know something needs to be done, but they're not going to really come to the table.
And
because
remember,
it
who's
helps Obama?
Sure.
You know,
well, it helps Obama. And also, let's face it, who do you think is putting the money into their coffers?
Right.
So, what are you going to turn off the spigot?
Right.
I don't think so.
And these people also don't jump up and down. The Republicans don't jump up and down when same types of corporations outsource their jobs, leaving Americans with no jobs but paying pennies on the dollar in third world countries.
The proof, my dear Ray, is in the pudding. The question is, if you're right that the Republicans, Obama puts it on the floor, says we got to stop this thing. If the Democrats say yes, the question is, will John Boehner bring up in the United States Congress a bill that does just that?
So you're suggesting that only Republicans get money from pharmaceutical giants?
No.
Is that the inference that I'm getting from you and Libby?
No, but the majority of corporations and support Republicans over Democrats, simply because the Republicans, you can count on them to vote for the corporate way, and the Democrats at least will raise the issue of maybe we shouldn't do this. They might end up voting for the corporations, but at least they recognize that there are some problems here. And I do think that it's a pretty stark differentiation.
Well, you know, we just got a nice letter from somebody saying you and I are no good, and Ray is great, and okay. I just want to make
cut
that
it
point.
Out. No, stop.
It's true.
It's your birthday.
I could read your letter.
No, I don't want to read it. I want to say happy birthday, and let's all sing Kumbaya and be happy.
Yeah, well, we do sing Kumbaya. That's what people don't understand. No. We all like each other.
Yeah.
And I like Kumbaya. I've always thought it was
really?
A great song. Yeah, yeah.
What about Michael Row the Boat Ashore? You like that one, too?
Yeah.
Fine.
Joe, you've lost control.
That was a nice trill in your voice.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Very nice. It's Buffy St. Marie, don't you know? Little bird.
Really?
I'm impressed. No, that's the way she sings.
Yeah. Oh,
you said you weren't going to drink today.
It's Alan's birthday.
You know, it was 6 a.m., and I figure in Shanghai, that was happy hour. So
it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. And aren't you happy? Roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our Roundtable panel as we finish up for this Friday morning. And we welcome your comments, Roundtable at WAMC.org. Any letters?
No, nothing to speak of.
All right, just checking the mailbag.
I got one from you, though.
Oh, what did I say?
You said, here's an article about Howard Glaser.
Oh, nice.
That's not for me.
Is there another Joseph Donahue, you think?
It's got to be, right?
I'm sure.
Over in Ireland.
I didn't send you that.
It says here.
I think it's spam.
This is from Joe at WRC.org.
I think it's spam.
Yeah. It's just this article about why when Glaser left quietly in June.
Now, see, I got that too, but I got it from somebody else.
Ah, ooh, it is spam. Does it say something about lasting longer?
Oh, boys, boys, boys.
Nothing. We got a lot of spam here, and some of it's quite interesting.
All right, your dog wants... See, now it's hard to make this transition.
I get one from Russian women are wanting me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
They want all of us, Libby.
Just saying yet.
Right.
Your dog wants all of your attention, and it's never enough, but can she feel jealousy? The answer seems to be yes, according to a new study published this week. The findings may not surprise dog owners, but they mark an important shift in the way scientists study jealousy, which remains one of humanity's most baffling emotions. Study author Christine Harris, a professor of psychology at UC San Diego, was visiting her parents and their three border collies when the idea for the study came to her. I'd pet two of them at a time, she said. The dogs, not her parents. And it wouldn't have been surprising if that had made the third want my attention too. But what intrigued her was that the two dogs being attended to would show aggression to one another. One dog would knock her hand away from the other, so it was the sole object of affection. To me, she said, that really fit with the more with the core motivation of jealousy. In her study, Harris said dog owners devote attention to a picture book, which they read aloud, a toy dog that moved and barked, and an object their dog had never seen before, a Halloween candy bucket. Both the toy dog and the bucket were treated like dogs, and the owners pet them and talk to them the way they would their own animal. The dogs reacted the least to the book and had the most negative response when their owners appeared to be coddling a fellow animal.
I'm glad we have prestigious academic institutions which study really important things that everybody already knows.
Well,
I mean, you know, give me a break.
I mean, the grant writer involved should get some sort of a prize because that's brilliant.
The comments at the Washington Post.
Oh, it's great.
Cheryl Bratcher. They had to do a study to figure this out. All you have to do is ask any person with multiple pets and they could have told you. Oh, and let me say save the expense of finding out the same about cats. They get jealous, too. In my house, we have a dog and four cats. When George...
That's disgusting.
Right, thank you. When George, the daddy cat, comes over and sits on either of our laps, Bailey is there, our dog, in a heartbeat, wanting attention. So, yes, they are jealous.
Well, try having a brand new newborn in your house. And then Murray, the dog, very concerned, just intellectually curious, wants to see the baby when Roselle, who, of course, is the object of his affection, is holding the baby. Murray will sort of jump up, whimper, get very... But so what? We know this already.
Yeah.
I think this is more of an indictment of the Academy than anything
No,
else.
I think it's the notion that for so long people did not think... Dogs had souls.
This is to show us more about how we react to jealousy.
Right, exactly.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know
I think that
how
was
we
my take.
We know. We are jealous human beings. I mean,
By the way, I just looked at this thing from this Howard Glazer thing.
Yeah.
It's Joseph Donahue with an O. It's not me. It's another guy.
Oh, I'll
be darned.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spelled differently.
Right.
I'll be darned.
But
I'll
let's get back to that animals have no soul. I think the fact that they did a study on dogs to prove that humans get jealous is a little strange. Oh, but be that as it may, I think for a long time people thought dogs and animals.
Well, there's
no
some religious institutions
emotions.
Do not think.
Right.
That,
there are a significant portion of our listeners who will tell you intellectually that people have no souls.
Well,
that's correct.
But I'm talking about.
I disagree with them, but that is their right. Yes.
Oh. Right. But animals do have feelings. They do have souls.
Without question.
They are.
They're better
beings.
Than we are.
Absolutely. Unconditional love.
They are.
Doesn't
that.
Matter. You can gain weight, you can lose weight. You can be gorgeous, you can be ugly. It doesn't matter. As long as you treat them with love, they will love you back. And that's what's important.
And that's why they're men's best friend.
That's right. And women's.
Well,
true.
Yeah. In the biblical sense.
Yeah,
sure.
All right.
Biblical sense,
what else you got,
men's
Joe?
Men's best
Bring
friend
it.
Is a whole other story.
Yeah, right. That's true. A News Channel 13 crew was threatened with arrest on Thursday. It happened as they were working on a story about the historic Grant Cottage in Wilton, where President Ulysses S. Grant spent his final days. The cottage is located on Mount McGregor near the correctional facility that's scheduled to close this weekend. Corrections employees who are still working at the empty prison made every attempt to stop Mark Mulholland from doing his job.
A terrific and wonderful reporter.
Yes.
Grant's cottage is located at the top of Mount McGregor, and it was the 129th anniversary of Grant's death there on Wednesday. News Channel 13 shot some of the reenactment Wednesday, and Mulholland and his photographer were assigned to go back there Thursday to get some additional shots. As they were doing a piece on camera in the shadows of the empty Mount McGregor prison, a man who identified himself as a corrections lieutenant came speeding towards the crew in a car. I do have to say, in looking at the video, it looks like the car is going to crash into the crew.
Oh, really?
I believe the cameraman said, Mark, I think you want to look out.
I used to have a friend, and every time somebody did something like that, he would yell at the top of his voice, "Mistake!"
No filming, said the officer. We're doing a story on Grant's cottage, Mulholland tried to explain. It doesn't matter, the officer continued. After a few more exchanges, he then said, "You're going to leave the mountain now?" Mulholland asked, "You're telling us we can't visit a historic site?" "No, you're going to have to run that through Albany," the officer replied, saying the news crew was on state ground. "Look, I'm not going to go around with you on this. You're going to leave the property." Well, then things escalated a bit because they called the state police. Mm-hmm. The video shows the poor state police, the poor state trooper just sort of, not knowing what to do. Like, what am I supposed to be doing here again?
Are we not allowed to film prisons?
We are not allowed to. You do when you are well. Here, and I guess this is sort of the strangeness of the story is that if we were going to go to say. An active prison that you would go through Albany to be on the grounds to go that to get the permission. What's weird here is that there is a state historic site on the top and if you're doing a story on that and the prison just happens to be in the background. So and then where this also became weird is that the lieutenant said that the crew had to hand over their video or they would be arrested.
Oh, that's good. That's the good part.
And that's the good part. So after roughly an hour and calls between newsroom leadership, state police, and the Department of Corrections, the crew was allowed to leave without surrendering the video, which they showed that evening.
And
on the
here
news.
It takes up one whole news cycle. Because somebody comes around and mistakenly takes on something they had no business putting their nose into.
Now I have to say, I read the story. I saw the story when it ran, and then I was following it last night, and I was really interested in the comments on Facebook because NYT posted it, and they had. I would say it was about 50-50. 50% of the people who responded, and hundreds of people responded, 50% of the people responded saying, look, what are they hiding up there? What are they hiding up there? Why are they making such a big deal? Good job, Mark Mulholland, for standing up to him. What's the deal?
Okay, so the other half?
The other half said, why are you breaking the rules? Rules are rules. They told you you shouldn't be doing there. You should be standing down. Why are you doing it? This is another example of the press doing why. If they shot the footage on Wednesday, why did they have to go back on Thursday? Clearly, they knew that they were doing something. Yes. So I'm just saying, I was fascinated by the 50-50 split.
Because a lot of people, they don't like the state legislature, and they don't like the Congress, and they also don't like the news media.
Right.
And rightly so. But
what do you mean rightly so?
This
check the paycheck, right?
The prison to get to Grant's little hovel.
Yeah.
Do you have to go through a gate or can you just drive up?
No, you don't think you have to go.
You used to have to go through a gate to go up because it is on state property and through the correction facility.
Okay, so this is probably just a guard who is taking his rules, his duties to the letter, and perhaps, in the absence of a superior, maybe overstepped.
Now, here are two things that I are a
it's
bit...
It's not an active prison.
It's not an active prison. A lot of people were also questioning why there were prison guards there if there wasn't active, if there weren't prisoners
there.
Oh, There is that. The other thing that was interesting is there was that as they were leaving... as the film crew was leaving, they noticed that there was another film crew in the prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
And then the final little piece of this, which is interesting, is that they blocked the road so that that they were allowing other cars to go up to go to Grant's
really?
House, but they were not allowing the Channel 13
great
crew
President
to go upstairs.
Grant, who won the Civil War. For God's sake!
Not the best president. But
not the best president. Had some cronies, some problems.
Right.
You know, and some cronyism there.
Yeah.
But that's where he wrote. You know, he knew he was dying. By the way, and
that's
he
where
wrote,
he died.
And he wrote his many volume autobiography, which became a bestseller immediately and kept his family going. But I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're out of time, but we have time enough to thank you and to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. It's enough of that now.
Enjoy. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Everyone, have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We'll reconvene on Monday. Yeah, you're listening to the Roundtable, D-O-N-O.